This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 35, Steven Seagal in Deadly Crossing. So, this is basically the Horse Whisperer. And not horse, H-O-R-S-C, but, horse, because he's always whispering. This is Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
And he plays Elijah Kane, mm-hmm. And he's a Cajun. And we talked about Seagal in an earlier podcast, how he, in the movie Submerged, he was a guy from Louisiana.
Yeah, exactly.
And was talking about, like, alligators and crocodiles.
Back in the bayou.
And catfish and whatever. And then he just abandoned his Cajun accent midway through. Well, here, he's reprising his Cajun accent.
That was a dress rehearsal for Deadly Crossing. That's what it was, yeah.
So now, yeah, this movie is set in Seattle.
Okay, but before we even talk about this movie, because I'm still bitter about this movie, how I feel gypped, Chris. I feel
gripped
off, okay? Let me just explain to our listeners how I came across this movie.
Okay.
This is not, it's Deadly Crossing. Yes, that's what it says on the DVD cover, mm-hmm. right? This is not Deadly Crossing. This is True Justice, okay?
Mm.
True Justice, okay, but let me backtrack. So I'm at Walmart, picking up my, picking up some, like, I don't know, provisions, and I'm checking out their bargain bin for their shitty movies, right? Which is what I like to do. I like to look for shitty movies, right? And I see, they have a bunch of movies on sale for $5, and I see a couple Seagal films. I'm like, fuck yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Any late period portly Seagal, I'm all over that shit, right? So one was called Deadly Crossing, and the other one was called Violence of Action, right?
Yeah.
And they were $5 a piece. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take these home, put them on. I mean, man, I'm in for some rip-roaring entertainment, mm-hmm. right? I'm expecting something along the lines of Half Past Dead or Submerged or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it into my player. I'm really excited. And I don't see Deadly Crossing. I see True Justice. I'm like, what the fuck is True Justice? What this was some sort of TV series conceived by Steven Seagal, starring Steven Seagal, produced by Steven Seagal, written by Steven Seagal,
yeah.
that aired on some network called, I don't know, Stars or something? Like,
I didn't ring a bell to me. Yeah.
Is this a network? Is this some sort of like internet thing? I don't know. Anyhow, this series ran for 2 seasons, and what the shoddy DVD manufacturers did is they cobbled together 2 episodes and called it a feature called Deadly Crossing.
Yeah.
So instead of watching a Seagal movie, I'm sitting here watching 2 episodes of this ridiculous TV series. Now, mind you, this was a fairly entertaining, dunderheaded 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was an hour and a half because they took away the commercials and all.
Mm.
But I still feel a little bit ripped off, man. I'm a little so I do sound bitter throughout this cast. That's the reason why I want my $5 back.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, one thing that may allay your bitterness, or at least mine, was his incredible hairdo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Again, we got this Brillo pad. He had a V-shaped hairline.
It was like a Bela Lugosi. Yes, yeah. It was
he's known for, we were talking about horse whispering earlier. It's like, he's known generally for, well, again, his whispering, but his ponytail,
mm-hmm.
and his ridiculous
true, yeah.
mane.
Yeah.
And in this one, he's closely cropped by his standards.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but he's got that, that sort of Eddie Munster-esque,
it's definitely plugs.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he's not the president, but he's definitely a client, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The hair club for men, right? But anyway, getting back to the plot, so he plays Kane.
He's a Cajun guy in Seattle.
Well, I gotta interview him one more time. When this movie began, or this TV series, there was a theme song. I don't know what the song was. We're meting out true justice. I don't know what That song was sung by Seagal.
Yeah.
It had to have been.
Yeah, and Seagal is kind of a decent enough guitarist.
He's a blues musician. He tours as
well. In the same way. Like, I'm Baryshnikov or something. I don't know. I dance in a nightclub every now and then. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Like, he's not a... He's, let's put it this way, B.B. King's still safe. This guy, Yeah, I don't want. How different would his warbling be than his whispering? And I can't, I've never heard him sing. I've just seen a few clips of him playing guitar. I don't want to. I've had my fill of Steven Seagal at this point.
But, okay, so again, he plays Elijah Kane.
The Elijah Kane, you know, because it's an action film, so your surname has to have one syllable. Mm-hmm. And this thing is set in Seattle, and he's Cajun. I didn't know there were Cajun people in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't care, whatever. But he's... Given that he's Cajun and in Submerged, he's, you know, he's got homespun wisdom about what to do with big gators. Mm-hmm. In this one, he dispenses such lines as, "Even an old blind rooster hits a piece of corn once in a while." And I'm doing that Cajun accent more justice than he did there. Just awful, awful fucking accent.
True justice. Yeah. Or how about, because I'm going to bitch slap you, you're here.
Yeah.
vague.
This guy, he just stepped out of Baton Rouge. I mean, yeah, exactly. My God. This guy... is ambiguously
ethnicized.
Yeah, at one point he talks about how his parents were interred, or one of them or interred in camps.
His
so which leads,
were interned,
so he's Japanese now, Cajun. He's half French, half Japanese.
What about Chinese? Because there was that Chinese.
Okay. We got to get to this plot here.
Yeah,
there's a couple shop owners are murdered in their store, and their daughter is cowering in the bushes. Mm-hmm. When the police investigate, she speaks Mandarin. And Seagal goes over to talk to her, and he starts speaking fucking Mandarin.
Yeah, he has like four words in Mandarin, and he goes, "Somebody get us a Mandarin translator." Like, he exhausts his vocabulary right then and there.
He's Cajun, so he speaks French, maybe he speaks Japanese. Man, this guy, like, he can be any ethnicity. He's like the Vin Diesel of... Well, maybe he's the Steven Seagal of ambiguous ethnicity. He can be anything. And as we saw in that other awful movie with Ja Rule, he can speak Ebonics too. He's taught how to say "I'd."
Yeah, he says a lot in this movie too. So that was another dress rehearsal. He's also very fond of saying "You hear?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I mean,
little roosters and catfish and
I mean, like, so, but we gotta say so. I mean, like, he's the head of this sort of like this task force, right? within the
Seattle PD. Yeah.
And I mean, this task force reports to nobody.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He has no superior officers in the sense that, like, these people just kill willy-nilly, man. Like,
yeah, they're a bunch of hotheads.
They're like, slaughtering everywhere, man. It's like, you know, there's nobody has to... They don't have to file any paperwork. They don't have to do anything. They just, you know...
And this guy, like, again, they pin these murders on... Speaking of bad accents, this Russian heroin dealer,
right,
played by one of our favorites,
Mr. Bellows himself.
Yeah, Mr. Gil Bellows, who you know, listeners will know from Ally McBeal and from Shawshank Redemption
and from Hunt to Kill.
Hunt to Kill. Yeah, he is a Canadian. He must have it in his contract to appear in...
He kept saying police. Yeah. I'm the police.
He has to appear in every film shot in British Columbia.
Right.
He plays Nikolai Putin. Nikolai Putin. I'm a Russian gangster. I deal heroin. And then that accent, better than his. More bona fide than his. Seagal and his group of task force agents, they try and track this guy down.
Before they get there, I mean, there's a whole bullshit with that kid, that whiny, crying Asian kid who was one of the most stereotypical Asian kids ever.
He's like one of these guys who's previously on the streets, and now he's trying to turn his life around.
And
Seagal takes him under his wing.
Yeah, Seagal's like, yeah, you know, he's like, I gotta help these immigrants because immigrants are my people.
Immigrants are my people.
Like, what the fuck is this guy's ethnicity? I honestly do. Like, it's getting ridiculous at this point. You know what I mean?
To find out, I guess, you know, that the Russians were involved, they first have to glean some information from
a strip club.
A strip club, and prior to that, they go to a trailer park.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of meth heads, and there's a guy, and they're led by this biker. He looks like one of these, you know, Satan's Choice, you know, Hell's Angels bikers guys, and his name is Damien, not to be confused with Damien.
Mm.
Damien, and he's so bad, he
He makes onions cry. I don't know who penned this script. Anyway, this guy, like...
Probably Seagal. Yeah.
He definitely had his heavy hand involved in it. So he goes in and he beats down some of these bikers and gleans information from them.
Yeah, his line is something like, I'm the police.
I'm the police.
And I'm going to impose my rules up in here.
He gleans information from these bikers. And the Seattle Task Force has a couple hot chicks. In their employ, one of whom is a new recruit who's blonde and got a nice rack, and they've got a brunette, and they go undercover as, I guess, either would-be dancers or ladies of the evening, something to that effect. They wear their short skirts and their bustiers, and they try and glean information from this Russian baddie who owns a seedy nightclub.
Right.
So they go in there and try and get...
Yeah, this guy's name is... his last name is Putin.
Putin. Putin, yeah. The current despot in Russia.
And his first name is Nikolai. WWE wrestler Nikolai Volkov. And, of course, this is our friend Mr. Bellows. And as we mentioned earlier, I mean, this guy is doing the most stereotypically stupid Russian accent ever. And, you know, you are cop.
You are cop.
At least
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
You are cop.
Yeah.
I guess we should mention they shake down one of his dancers.
Yeah.
And one of the undercover cop uncharitably refers to her as a clam slammer.
Clam slammer.
There's a healthy dose of sexism there.
Yeah, well it's like she has a predilection for the ladies. And So, I mean, this movie is sort of... I mean, it's hard to call it a movie. I mean, it's two episodes of an episodic TV series, so there really is no resolution.
No.
But there's a couple things that I did enjoy about this. I mean, besides, you know, Seagal's... ambiguous ethnicity, besides his linguistic prowess, besides his... you know what, dude? As they say in Frankenstein, he's alive!
Yeah.
He's alive! Like, I mean, when I saw him at Half Past Dead, when I saw him submerged, I mean, the guy... I mean, you gotta remember, I was a Seagal fan back in the day.
Yeah.
I would go to the theater, I would see Steven Seagal as Mark for Death.
Yeah, Steven for Seagal, Justice, all that, yeah.
When Steven Seagal was actually, like, you know, doing the real action. And then... You know, in those two movies, all the heavy lifting was done by other people, i.e. Vinnie Jones and Submerge, or fucking Ja Rule and Half Past Dead. In this movie, he's actually delivering some pretty convincing beatdowns, you know?
Yeah.
And he's shooting the gun, and
he does his usual, like, bend the hand back, Aikido techniques, and then, you know, and kicks to the gut. He looked, you know, by his standards, definitely svelte. And you're going to say there's a ridiculous subplot of his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And who keeps sort of appearing, and then he just sort of dismisses her, and then
And he has a hot date at the end.
Yeah, he has a hot date, and this guy's supposed to be some ladies' man, I guess. Are ladies into this, you know, like Bela Lugosi haired...
Well, and the other thing, too, if you notice, is he had a never-ending supply of, like, black button-down shirts and pants. do you recall? Like, I mean, he basically wore the same outfit throughout the entire fucking movie, so...
Yeah, and I guess, speaking of sartorial choices, I think in two instances in the movie, because this is a, you know, special... a kind of unit of this police force, a couple of the recruits come in wearing their police garb, and he chastises them, saying, "Oh, this is a special task force unit. You shouldn't be wearing your uniforms in here, dressed like casual, whatever, so no one, you know, finds out about us." Meanwhile, they're in some, you know, ridiculous, like, office. No one knows where the hell they are, in the middle of nowhere. Like, no one's going to find out that a couple of cops go into some building. But anyway, so he's the... he's the leader of this force, and again, because this is a terrible action film, he eventually tracks down Gil Bellows / Nikolai Putin as the guy who's responsible for the death of these two shop owners indirectly, and there's a shootout in a warehouse, because my god, how many bloody shootouts in warehouses do you have to watch in all these action films? I don't know why. Like, where are these abandoned warehouses? Like, Vancouver is great, or Seattle.
You, in a former life, you've worked in a warehouse or two.
Yes, I have.
Was there ever a shoe on one of those warehouses?
Never, and nor in cities as successful as Seattle, the home of Starbucks and Microsoft. Where do they keep finding these abandoned warehouses where you can just shoot?
The brick
runs, man. You can just shoot. Like, have massive shootouts in the middle of... It's almost like Seattle's Detroit. You have this abandoned warehouse right downtown.
Wow.
And there is the most ridiculous. Like, again, this is an action film, so Nikolai Putin is left to fight one-on-one with Steven Seagal's Elijah Kane, and he gives him this, like, you know, 80s wrestling, like, leg crank, and he breaks his, he snaps his leg in
two.
Yeah,
it was the sharpshooter, basically. Yeah.
And I don't know. He's
but again, I was so impressed. I'm like, he's alive again. Yeah, like, he's actually doing something. Like, because you know, like in some of the other Larry Day Seagal films that we've watched, I mean, the guy was playing possum. You know what I mean? He was playing dead, so it's not the fight. And in this movie, he actually was, you know, breaking some bones. Granted, it wasn't anywhere near what he did in his prime, but something is better than nothing. You know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit of a return to form, even if he's not physically quite there yet, but a few more pounds and he's almost there. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being a must miss, 5 being a must see, where, how many kicks to the groin / bent limbs will you give this out of 5? How many?
You know, man, like I said before, I'm still getting over the hurt of the fact that
this being a TV show cobbled into a movie.
So I'm going to abstain from reviewing it just because I'm you know, I feel betrayed, and that betrayal is going to take a long time for me to forgive. However, I'm still, you know what, man, I still love Seagal, and I'm still going to be looking for more of his crappy straight-to-video movies. So.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what, you know, what this Sir Anthony Hopkins has in his bag of tricks in terms of accents. Maybe he's going to pull out Cockney.
That would be something. Yeah. Or maybe it would just totally, like, just blow everyone's minds to go, like you know, Nigerian or something.
Oh, that would be fantastic,
You know, do some sort of African accent. Yeah. But, so I'm abstaining.
Okay.
Abstaining out of bitterness, but what do you give it from?
Yeah, I'll give this a 3, just because I'm happy to see him finally do some Aikido again instead of his over-reliance on handguns. And so what did we learn from Deadly Crossing?
Well, I mean, the one thing I've learned is that sometimes DVD manufacturers are quite unscrupulous, and they're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes by cobbling together 2 episodes of some obscure TV series as a feature-length film, and therefore, you know, fool me once. Hey, actually fool me twice, because I bought 2 of these fucking things. But anyhow, like I said, like, I learned that, you know, it's funny, they call Lon Chaney the Man of 1,000 Faces, right?
Yeah.
Steven Seagal is a man of 1,000 faces.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 2 faces. on the acting front, for sure.
Yeah, you made a joke, which I found absolutely hilarious, and when we talked about Half Past Dead Submerged.
Oh, yeah, maybe he'll show another Squinty McGee, yeah.
Yeah, maybe he'll show another face. He said, man, if he has a stroke. And I was just, that to me was hilarious. But no, I mean, he's a man of 2 faces, but he's a man of 1,000 ethnicities. Yeah. So that one of these days, man, one of these days, we'll get him on Murray Povich or something, we'll do some fucking DNA test, and we'll find out where did this guy come from, you know?
I mean, he's also known for, you know, saying in one of our earlier podcasts, you know, I forget the movie, probably Submerged, get your white ass out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
So what ethnicity is he? Who knows?
He's
the everyman.
He's like, we are the world. He's everybody all rolled into one poorly package.
Well, I learned that you got to have, like, an aphoristic, you know, line in an action movie, and it's got to be uttered with utter conviction, and yeah, you slip, we all fall. So that was the bona fide, that was the action film line from this. I got to say, they did not mention the title of the movie in dialogue. So there's something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. What, I don't know. But
I got to say, at this point, you do a damn good Seagal impersonation, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
You're even giving me a good squint right now.
And for more, check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, and movie giveaways. We'll talk to you soon.